Loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius.
He scores!
Anthony for three. Bang! That one goes down and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome, everybody, to Pick and Pod, the resident NBA podcast here at WFUV Sports. We got a four-man crew here today. We have one regular, two that are kind of making their debuts, or both making debuts on the air.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, we've had some we have some production credits, but first on air accounts, Ryan Deptula and of course Colin Banks. Colin, you've produced podcasts as well as Ryan. Ryan's also produced podcasts. You've done college football, right?
Yep, college
and you've
football.
Done NFL Friday.
Yep.
We won't talk more about that. Anyway, Owen Kelty across from me, the other beat reporter in town. He will do the Nick beat report all year long, along with Gabby Price. Owen, how are you today? I feel like on a personal level, you're the guy to go to first. An interesting evening last night.
This is the happiest I've ever been in my lifetime. The New York Giants finally beat the Philadelphia Eagles.
He doesn't care about the Yankees.
I don't care. The Yankees lost, and I was very upset on Wednesday night. And then I went to the Giants game, and I watched Cam Scadabo run through a million people's faces. Ran a couple tush pushes in the parking lot. unreal game to be at. I'm great right now. Yankees, pretty sad. Knicks won last night. Knicks season starting.
He's counting preseason wins.
Preseason wins. It's Knicks season back 11
Ryan,
days.
Ryan, take it over. Ryan.
11 days till opening day at MSG. Wins. We love the Knicks. But I'm doing great right now. Giants won. That was
I was
going to
take
game.
It away from you
there. I
was there.
For a seeing the Giants actually, first Thursday night football win in 10 years. And I was there.
Did you see the touchdown scores of the last time the Giants won on Thursday Night Football?
Reuben Randle.
Yeah, that was the name that stuck out to me. Reuben Randle.
Rashad Jennings, no?
Yeah, Rashad Jennings is the other name,
yeah.
Too.
Remember that game? No, I don't remember that game, but I was like, probably not watching. It sucked. But finally, we got to beat the Eagles. Don't care that we're 2-4. Should be 3-3, but finally got to win. I'm doing good.
And Owen, in the vein of the Yankees losing, now the page turns to basketball season, turns to, you know, football being at more of a focal point. Whatever. Ryan, how are we today? The debut on the airways.
The debut? You were going to take it from him when he started talking about preseason?
I almost did.
We love preseason wins.
We love preseason wins.
Okay, all right.
Preseason
I respect you standing on that. You could have easily let that go by, but that was an opinion you had.
Preseason wins
are big for
the culture.
Oh, they're big for the culture. We got a new coach. We got new players. We love our preseason wins.
I want to interrupt quickly because it's your first time in the airways. We already got a taste of Colin and what his opinions are prior to coming into the pod today. Mm-hmm. Where are you from and where are your sports allegiances?
All right, this is going to be a little weird. I'm from Connecticut.
Okay.
Beacon Falls, Connecticut. Shout out.
Okay. Shout out Beacon Falls, Connecticut.
Everything New York except for the Red Sox.
Oh!
Whoa!
Yeah. I'll stand on it.
And there has to be a reason. Go on.
My aunt Megan, indoctrinated me from a young age
you must
into
like
Red
her.
Sox fandom. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, yeah. If it was an aunt you didn't like, I don't think you
and
would.
And honestly, I'm proud of it because as of late, I think we've gotten the better of the Yankees in my lifetime,
I mean,
for sure. So I'm happy she did that. She took me. It seemed like it wasn't going to be good, you know, with the future, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at it generally, you've gotten the better of us. I don't know about last week or a week and a half ago. That Yankees got the better of the Red Sox from what I saw. Yeah,
I've seen two World Series wins in my life.
If you were older enough, you would have seen three.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. What year are you? 06?
05. I've seen 2013, gotcha. Big Poppy against the Cardinals.
Yeah, me and Owen are cursed Yankee children.
And I've seen 2018, the greatest MLB baseball team ever assembled.
Yeah, that's actually
Red
true.
Sox.
2018 Red Sox.
Aside from the 2017 Yankees, yeah, I'm sure. team that didn't even make it to the World Series. Anyway, Colin, got a taste for your allegiances prior to the pod. Philly guy.
Did we?
That's what I heard. It seemed like you had a rough night.
I had a very rough night.
Last night. I mean, there was multiple things going wrong. I had sympathy for Philadelphia, which is a real hard thing to do.
I'll never
truly.
Have sympathy for Philadelphia.
That's kind of the vein I was going in. But where are you from, Colin? And what are all the allegiances? Do you have a weird one like Ryan?
I'm also from Connecticut.
Okay.
But my father, born and raised in Philly,
okay.
Went to college in Philly. So
and Connecticut doesn't have that, you know, that pride, that nationalism that Philadelphia has.
I just despise all the sports teams that these Connecticut kids root for.
And you always lived in Connecticut growing up?
Always.
And you always were a big Philly guy?
Always.
Putting up with the brunt of it.
I mean, I'll be honest. When I was a little kid, Sixers weren't too good.
Right.
Timberwolves were kind of my team
Michael Carter-Williams was chill.
Tyus Jones, summer league ball, if anybody remembers that. Denzel Valentine.
I do not.
It was a hell of a duel. Oh, can I say that?
Hell of a duel.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, my bad.
You're good, Kyle. First time. It's all right. I'd rather you be cautious the other way. You know what I mean?
All right.
So, respect.
But last night was horrible. I mean.
And also, wait, let me, because you went off the childhood stuff. 2017 must have been. All the Patriot fans around you.
Greatest day of my life.
Can you talk me through that next day at school? Quickly.
I don't think I went to school. I think I was very nice. Riding such a high that I just avoided.
Very nice. Delco smashing chairs in the street.
I was going to go to the parade, but my dad was like, I might be a little dangerous.
Climbing poles in Kensington.
Did you go last year?
No.
Was that more of a
I mean, that was more of just...
Train lines are tough out there from what I've heard.
It was unfinished business, so it wasn't as much as like... It wasn't as satisfying.
More vindicating than anything else.
Like, in the back of my mind, there's still the 2023 Super Bowl. It's really all I think about.
All right, Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts stinks.
He stinks. No. I'm sorry, we haven't talked about basketball once.
No, he stinks. No. Okay, you're wrong. When they let him throw, he excels. When they let him run the ball, he excels. He's a great player.
But he didn't excel at all last night.
You could call him like a...
Oh, Cordell Flott. Oh, for the pick.
You know who else they called a game manager, super team?
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Oh, so that's the comparison you're making on airwaves.
No. I'd compare it to like... Digital. Who would be a good comparison? I mean, like Donovan McNabb would be a good comparison. I think he's on the level of McNabb. When Hurts retires... I would not be surprised if
Brock Purdy
him.
Would be a good comparison.
See, that's just disrespectful.
Yeah,
that's
I don't think so. That's Purdy's good.
What does Purdy do better than Hurts, though? Maybe
game manager.
What, he throws the ball a little bit more,
so
he
gets
a few more yards.
Yeah. The return of pick and pot has gotten marred. It started with Eagles Giants.
Right,
somebody
line,
there last night.
Hurts is a great quarterback. I would not. Rather have anybody else than Hurts.
And we're going to go general NBA, and I want to start general NBA. Obviously, we're going to talk the big news, LeBron, arguably the two biggest teams in the Eastern Conference playing without their best player this year, all of these major stories. But first, I'll do a natural pivot to you, Colin. You had pretty high hopes for the Sixer team pre-pot. Can we talk about the Sixer team briefly? Because that is you have Knicks allegiance?
Yeah, Knicks allegiance.
Because you said it was all New York?
Yeah.
We'll get into all that in the local, all of our allegiance, but you're the only one national. Talk about your team.
I don't know if it's high hopes per se, but I can never be pessimistic going into a season, so I always have
to
hold some hope. And
like that.
Halliburton out, Tatum out.
East is
wide open, more so than it's probably ever been.
Wide open for Yegor Jovan. Just kidding.
Let's say Embiid. Wide open for gets semi-healthy. He's just able to play 50 games. That historically
Embiid's
would be enough.
To start the year, no? Is he starting
the year? He may or may not play season opener, but he'll be ready around that time.
And let me
is what we're hearing.
And let me just kind of put some dichotomy on the roster. So they have this Maxey and Embiid era, I would call it, where it's that sort of department of players, but it feels like Edgecombe and McCain are a whole new era and a whole new generation of Sixer basketball.
Yeah.
Those two guys in your backcourt for the future, you have to be semi-confident in, regardless of how many wins come this year.
Very confident. Well, I don't want to say anything too soon.
No, not like...
I really like Edgecombe. Yeah. I think McCain is great. I like how Grimes fits with the lineup. I think Grimes fits better next to Maxey.
Great year last year.
The only
shocked he didn't get paid.
Only bit of well,
he thought he was going to get paid.
He wanted $25 million.
So
he wanted $25 million. That wasn't going to happen.
That's a lot.
Why is that not going to happen though? He played so well last year.
I don't think
year.
Anybody
because
has
because
he's only get playing.
Nobody
well,
really
just
puts
him.
Any merit in
his play
losing
last year.
What 28 of 32 games.
Does he get paid?
And then also he was the only he was the primary scorer because there was no Maxey, no George, no.
I will say with being the primary ball handler, he showed he could do that though.
Right. Yeah.
And he's never shown that before. He's mostly been catch and shoot, 3-and-D.
Also a question for you. Without that George deal on the books, is that different? Does he get paid more?
Yeah.
100%.
I mean,
interesting.
I think Grimes will end up leaving after this.
Listen, and does he have to start this year, Paul George, because he's making that much money?
Yes. I mean,
he's
okay.
Started to start the year.
I think the discourse around Paul George is a little
go on
stupid right now.
Yes.
Yeah,
Floor George.
He had a bad year. numbers-wise, his splits weren't bad. It's not like he was just not shooting well or playing consistently worse in terms of, like, his rhythm. And it's his worst year of his career since, what, his rookie year? So a player that has been as consistent as Paul George, I think I can somewhat reasonably expect a bounce back.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it gets sort of overplayed, like downfalls.
I'm not saying he's going to bounce back to OKC, Paul George, but what, is 18, like 6-3 too much to ask?
No, I don't think. And also, I think it's attainable as well. I think from a certain perspective, even you two have watched that Sixer team you guys played in the playoffs. There's a lot more hope in that Sixer organization now than there was then. I mean, you have the same sort of core with Maxey and Embiid, and you even have a third option with George. But then it feels like they're also being proactive with their future, and I think that is what you have to be excited about as a Sixer fan right now.
Well, if they were really proactive, I'd like to see them get rid of Oubre and Drummond now. Like,
okay.
That is a move I think needs to be made.
Because I think they're in win now and rebuild at the same time, and that's where those kind of moves...
Rebuild to some extent, but we have built a young core already with Edgecombe, McCain, Grimes, Maxey, right. Bona, Edwards.
Why is Drummond still in the league?
Jani Broome, maybe.
Why is Drummond still in the league?
Not why is he still in the league, but why is he still on teams that are wanting to win games?
I think he belongs in the league, and I think he definitely has value as like a mentor. I mean, he's one of the greatest rebounders of all time, and he could definitely teach Bona like position skills, but like if we're just paying him to be a mentor, we may as well just put him on the coaching staff. Like him and Kyle Lowry and Eric Gordon, they're literally there to be mentor. I mean, Drummond may get some playing time.
What's the age of those three combined guys?
Lowry's 40, Gordon's 37, and Drummond's like 35. So, I mean,
man.
Paul George is pretty old, too.
They're all on their way out.
I feel like, from what I've seen from Drummond, when he plays, he's not that bad, though.
No, but...
He's definitely, like, a playable player.
Why he's still in the league.
His numbers are okay. He's a box score kind of guy. Like, you actually watch him play, he has, like, little impact on the game.
I mean, when you see him giving the peace sign on his way down the court.
I mean, he is a classic. Funny player. He's like a JaVale
that
McGee kind of player.
The Pokemon edit around it is so good.
Everything.
But, yeah, Drummond, Oubre, they got to figure out some way to get rid of them.
And we alluded to it briefly, just bringing up the national slate, but Pacers and Celtics, both two teams out for most of this upcoming season without their best player. Tatum and Haliburton both out. Haliburton seems to be out the whole year. I haven't heard any report he's going to be back. No chance. Tatum, we hear more and more reports every day that he might be coming back. Those two teams specifically, can you talk about, and I'll open up to you guys because obviously Colin and me have been talking a bunch here. What is it like for a team like the Pacers, like the Celtics, to have the top of the snake sort of cut off like that? And for both teams, how much does it impact? Because I think for both teams, it impacts them differently. Because I think both guys do or carry their teams in different ways.
Well, I think when you look at the Pacers, they saw Haliburton blow out his Achilles in the finals, and they kind of gave up on this season. Because before that, they did reacquire their first-round pick for next season earlier in the finals, which is kind of crazy knowing that Haliburton ended up tearing his Achilles,
which
is wild. But now they let Miles Turner walk. I don't think they let Miles Turner walk if Haliburton is healthy. I think they're kind of giving up on this season, and they're just looking at it as like get a top 10 pick, top 5 pick, and go back at it again in 2027 with Haliburton healthy again.
Yeah, I mean that's sort of the model, Ryan, and I want you to attest to this too, even kind of putting in context of Boston. Really good teams lose their player, sort of like wash the year, and then think like we can add a lottery level player to
similar to the Sixers last year.
Yeah, I'll add a lottery level player to this core and run it back the year after. Does that work in your opinion? Not even, you know, does it work? Does it work in your opinion?
I mean, what the Sixers did last year, I mean, I don't know what their record was, but it seems like they kind of got blessed in the lottery. No, what were they?
What they did was inspiring.
What
greatest mid-season pivot I've ever seen.
Also, Nick Claxton, 3-point game winner at the end of the year, definitely helped.
That was definitely the
dagger. What was their expected pick? Did they move up?
I think they were expected 6th.
So, I mean, they got, and they ended up picking 3rd.
They got blessed.
I mean,
yes.
I mean, even with the Mavericks, they kind of semi-tanked it. Not even seven.
Yeah, Mavericks.
The Mavericks fully.
They got completely.
Max Christie was their guy on offense.
Mavericks had a little bit less of a choice, though. I mean, they were bringing guys up from I don't even know where.
I mean, I don't even know if it's necessarily a conversation of if it works. It's just what else can you, what's the option for these teams? Mm. I mean, unless you want to try and rebuild a semi-competing roster that is definitely not going to win anything meaningful because you don't have your best player.
And you watched that run. You're a Knicks fan. You said, why did the Pacers get to the finals? And why did the Pacers have that success last year on the roster? Obviously, Carlisle helps. Benjamin GM Nembhard. Helps.
Spicy P. Pascal Nembhard. Siakam was elite.
Nesmith.
Think about that.
OG Anunoby is one of the best defenders in the league. He cannot guard.
Having one great player just isn't enough anymore. You need a whole system of parts to play alongside each other.
I agree. When we're talking about the Pacers, the reason they succeeded is their coach and the fact that they play 11 men with confidence.
Yeah.
Aaron Nesmith and Andrew Nembhard and even dude who just step in like Thomas Bryant. Like, that's why they win.
T.J. McConnell.
100% T.J. McConnell.
And my point...
He started to start the year, too.
My point in asking you that is, what parts of that core, what parts of the reasons why they're successful can they now run back in 2 years? You know what I mean? Like, how much of it will stay the same? How much of it keeps its value with young guys getting into the mix? You know what I mean? Because you could lose that. I mean, we saw that with Toronto. From a certain perspective, I feel like Kawhi obviously did a lot of the heavy lifting in that championship run, but the rest of that core got relatively decimated post. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think I've seen a team kind of sharply declined as quickly as the Raptors did after 2019. Sometimes that just doesn't work. OG wasn't enough. Scottie Barnes wasn't enough to make them a contender right away. Obviously, they're now at the end of the tunnel. But you could almost put yourself in a rebuild in a way, long term. The Celtic situation feels different.
Yeah, the Celtic situation is different. To talk about the Pacers, though.
Go on.
They're not. I wouldn't say they're in a rebuild. I think they're probably in a gap year of sorts, kind of. I mean, I don't know if that's a word that people use for NBA teams, but they're in a gap year. They made the NBA finals and almost won. Made it to game 7. I mean, you don't really even have to think that hard at this point as a Pacers fan. You just think, okay, I mean, we don't have our best play this year, we're probably not gonna win. Next year, we could probably win again. So you're just, I don't know if it's too complicated. I think they're just in a gap year and say, all right, I mean, we got this core. Let's keep them going. They're probably going to lose next year after that. We get our guys back.
And I've been in a gap year. I've been in a Nets, the year they get
Katie
and Kyrie.
Couple gap years for the Nets, huh?
I'm not going to do what I wanted to do. The year they get Katie and Kyrie, Katie's hurt. That's a gap year. Kyrie gives up halfway through the season, says he's going to go home, not go to the bubble. It's a gap year. So my issue with that is it's so much confidence in your future. Like, I just, none of that's guaranteed. You know what I mean? And it's almost too, it's even when people prepare a tank a year or two ahead. It's like, how do you know Arch Manning's going to be good? How do you know Arch Manning's the good example just because of how powerful he was as a prospect in comparison to now? But you don't know that far in advance with these guys. And I feel like you get yourself almost in trouble or you run real risk, I feel like.
You think they need to make some upgrades? They need to be aggressive even in this gap year? Or do you think they're complacent with their little...
They want
to
be bad.
I semi-agree with what you said, but I think...
Letting, I do too, yeah. I
think
too.
Letting Miles Turner go was a big mistake. Like,
where did he go again?
Bucks.
There's not a lot of centers like him, almost like a 3-and-D center, who could also play in the mid-range. He's a good offensive talent. He's their backbone of the defense. I think there is a slight opportunity for maybe a Nembhard ascension this year, so that could help with their future.
It's his offense for the most
part. He's their leading scorer, though. Spicy P, but
letting Turner go is a bad move to me, and I think that shows that they're giving up on this year,
and also shows the scarcity of really good centers right now.
Yeah,
there's not many,
especially centers that can shoot, especially in today's NBA. Miles Turner was really good for them. I mean, what was it, 10 years? Every single year was, oh, Miles Turner's gonna get traded at the deadline, and he never got traded, and then they eventually just let him walk in free agency. I was surprised that they let him leave. I still think, the Pacers. Him tearing his Achilles is devastating for that franchise because they're also a team that doesn't want to spend a ton of money. I don't think they've ever been the first time they would have ever gone over the cap or I'm blanking on what it's called right now. Not
apron?
The cap. Apron would have been to sign Miles Turner. They've still never been over the first apron.
Wow.
So I think that shows a lot about they don't want to spend money. And which interesting for them too, eventually, you're going to have to pay guys like Nembhard and Nesmith. They're going to make decent money on the open market. So they're going to tank this year, probably get a top pick, and then kind of reset that clock with Haliburton, pay Haliburton, pay Siakam, and then maybe get another top guy in the draft.
There's a lot of options there. Another guy with a lot of options, the king, the GOAT, LeBron James. Could re-up with the Lakers this offseason. or this upcoming year, or like for next year, I'm saying. He could retire, he could request a trade, and there's probably a fourth option. What's the fourth option, Kurt? Thank you. Become a member of the Brooklyn Nets. But right now, he's dealing with an injury. LeBron out to 3 to 4 weeks, set to miss the opener. It seemed like it was in jeopardy, and now it seems like he's going to be out for the opener. So, for people that thought it might be his last year...
Well, he's not retiring.
That's what I'm saying. For people who thought it was his last year, it's not going to be a clean year. He's not going to get the opener. May never see LeBron James play in October again, which is bizarre in a lot of ways. But for you guys, whether it's the injury or it's his options coming up against this year, how do you guys just feel broadly about this LeBron James situation? I'll start with you, Ryan. We could start somewhere else too.
No, we're all
you're good.
Yeah,
you're good.
The LeBron situation is.
I didn't mean to throw you on the spot.
I'm here on the spot. But
go on. I love that. Go on.
I mean, he's injured. He's old. I mean, the guy is old. Breaking news: LeBron is old, and
40.
He is old. He's going to be 41 on, I believe, December 30th.
December 30th. Yes, yeah. Sir. Come on now.
I mean, we're.
Why do you know that?
Because we're appreciators of greatness. That's why.
I know when greatness is in front of me here.
Thank you. 1980, right?
Okay, now we're.
No. I'm kidding.
Okay, but to actually talk about LeBron, I mean, the injury is the injury. I think he will probably be back, and whether he deals with that injury throughout the rest of the year, I don't know. I'm not like a medical expert on what he's going through right now, but as far as his options, I mean. I'd love to see him have a storybook ending if he doesn't have one this year. Like if he didn't win a ring this year.
I don't
year.
Think he's won another ring.
I don't think so either. Well, but if he's not retiring this year. At least he hasn't said he is. So if he doesn't, and I believe his contract is over at the end of this year, he has the option to go somewhere with a storybook ending. I think there's a lot of options. I think back to Cleveland would be ideal. I don't know how they make that.
I don't know if Cleveland wants that.
Anything
after another if Cleveland has another upset a disappointing year this year, you don't think they'd bring back
you're
LeBron?
Telling me they'd rather just have another mid-year of Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell than LeBron James?
Listen, Darius Garland is
if they don't win
the finals this year, Darius Garland's gone.
From a capitalistic perspective, how much money would they make in a year of LeBron's final season?
They'd be selling out
LeBron's selling out they'd be selling out his jerseys everywhere.
LeBron's also good.
New LeBron Cavs jerseys. I don't really like those jerseys.
They're not selling the new ones. They'd be selling the old ones. The whole
catalog.
But
it's also at this point, for if you're any team, is LeBron right now a $56 million a year player?
No.
In Brooklyn, he is.
In Brooklyn, he is.
Home, King!
Giannis doesn't even want to play for you, and you guys have all those picks.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want that Kyrie hurting Greek, dude. I want my king.
Your king? Yeah.
I want my king.
So you guys can win 15 games with him and MPJ.
And it'd be fun.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be so much fun. MPJ. Oh, should I give it to LeBron? His farewell tour? No, MPJ shoots three. It's going to happen a lot this year. You guys are going to stink.
Leave me alone.
Gonna win 10 games.
That's a horrible decision.
And you're gonna lose the lottery. You're gonna win 10 games. You're still not gonna get the.
We're not, game. And we're gonna talk about it. Back to LeBron. I don't know. I think this LeBron situation definitely puts the whole final season thing into a weird context because I do think he wants to play a clean season. I don't think he wants to start an injury.
I don't think he'd go out sad.
Also, I think he would have announced it by now.
He's gonna announce it before they make the schedule. Because it's going to be, whoever he's on next year is going to be, it's going to be like prime time after prime time.
With this all said, I think this helps Luka a little bit. I think to start the year without LeBron actually helps just to get your footing.
Isn't Luka hurt too?
Yeah, but I think he'll start the year. That was an injury in Euro, right?
I believe so. Because the DeAndre Ayton said he's not practiced with either Luka or LeBron.
He doesn't know them. Yeah, he's never even met them.
But them not being there is kind of crazy with the preseason going on and training camp.
Dude.
Lakers going to stink this year.
The Lakers. No, they're actually not.
Yeah, I think
I disagree.
Think that, I agree. That's horrible. The fact that DeAndre Ayton hasn't worked with Luka yet.
They're going to run a pick and roll.
Dude.
They could do anything. They got to talk to.
Is Ayton getting invited to the Mafia-thon? No.
Was Luka?
No, I don't know.
Did he cut Kai Sinet's dread? Sub to Kai. Don't forget to sub to Kai.
They might as well sign Kai at this point.
And Jason DeWine. He had 100K last night. Anyway. Anyway.
How do you know that?
I'm on the internet too much. I feel like that's a good enough national talk. I think the LeBron situation will continue to monitor, obviously. And I think the Lakers are at the focal point of what the West is. You guys both say they're not going to be good. I think regardless if they're good or not, that's going to be the game and the team that's circled on every team's calendar out west, playing Luka and LeBron. So anyway, you guys already tried to ruin my day, so we'll head into that now. Go a bit more local with our talk and talk about the Brooklyn Nets. My Brooklyn Nets my Brooklyn Nets. They were in China this morning. Kurt Sippel, do you have any thoughts on China? You have no thoughts
on
the Nets in China.
There's four mics being going right now. He can't talk.
What'd you say?
Kurt can't talk.
No, I know, but he could talk. I can relay through.
Fine. Yeah, Kurt was in China this morning for the game.
He was. He was excited about Jackie Chan, he said, in my ear, which I also was excited about that. That was very cool. The Nets play the Suns last night / this morning, our time. It was an interesting bunch for both sides. Booker played a decent amount. Ended up playing 27 minutes in the game. Grayson Allen played the most minutes for the Suns in the game. He played 29. You saw Iguodaro, who had Big East tournament fame with Marquette, and Dylan Brooks and Ryan Dunn, who seemed to be the backcourt in Phoenix. It was all kind of spread out for them. No one really jumped off the box score than everybody else. Cam Thomas, by far and away, had the stat line that jumped off the box score the most. 22 points, a plus 7, plus minus, 7 for 12 from the field, 2 for 4 for 3, 6 for 6 from the line, 22 points in 24 minutes. Cam Thomas is going to have a chip on his shoulder all year.
Wants to get paid.
And wants to get paid. Obviously, a lot of money on the line. The Nets, it's an interesting spot they find themselves in right now. They just played a home game in the preseason against an Israeli team that came over here, and then they go to China to play against Phoenix. And it's been some good things in both games. I think from a net perspective, and I'll give a slight net rant here, it's all about the five rookies. How the five rookies develop is how your perception of the season, how is the lens that you look under at this season under. How these guys play will be kind of where my emotions are this season. If these guys all play well and it's promising, whether they win 20 games or they win 80 games, I think it will be a positive. And then on the flip side of that, if this is a real negative, these guys can't stay healthy, it's just not blending together, this Net team is in disarray, complete disaster, and I don't really know where they go from here. A lot rests on these five rookies. I know you guys maybe aren't, the three of you aren't monitoring this Net situation as closely, but just on the broad idea of drafting five rookies, what are your guys' thoughts on that? I'll start with you, Ryan. You seem to be intrigued.
I have a friend who's a Nets fan, and he's always trying to get in with these five rookies. Is it Jaeger Demon,
Joman.
Danny Wolf?
Just kidding. You could say Demon.
Danny Wolf.
Yeah.
Noah Traore.
Noah Traore.
Saraf.
Yeah, all these guys.
Jaeger Joman, Nolan Traore.
Drake Powell.
Ben Saraf. Danny Wolf, those
drafting
were
five rookies in the first round. I mean, is insane.
Another thing is the Nets got killed in the lottery. They got killed. That's a terrible, terrible spot. And I don't even think, I mean, in my personal opinion, the draft wasn't that great. Like, I don't know if all the players are that good.
They should have traded some of the.
But I mean, to talk about the Nets specifically, though.
And I think for your point on the drafts, I think everyone's looking to next year's draft.
Next year's draft
is like the draft. There's three players who scouts are saying is better than maybe better than Flack. Three guys in next year's draft. So I think there's a certain perspective of like wait on it till next year.
Yeah, I mean I think it's fun as a I'm not a Nets fan, but if you were to be a Nets fan, it's a fun perspective. You don't really have to win games. You shouldn't win games. You don't even want to win games actually. But you're watching these five guys and you just hope at least two of them end up like good. I mean.
Two is ideal.
The team's horrible. They're going to be probably bottom like four, bottom three team in the entire league.
I don't know about horrible, but
they're horrible.
A team that starts Michael Porter Jr., Cam Thomas, and Nicholas Claxton isn't horrible. Okay, let's all just be honest with that. They're not. That's three good
horror.
NBA players. It's three good NBA players. Like let's not act. And Kurt, I know you agree with me back there. This is not like I know they're bad. They're not a horrible NBA team. They're not.
The Nets.
They're not.
The Nets. Aren't horrible.
It's like the same people that compare the picture of us at Media Day 10 years ago of all those randoms like Yogi Ferrell and then the picture of the five of them from a couple weeks ago. Half of those guys were on 2 days and didn't make it past Media Day, and the other five are first-round picks. Right,
of these five first-round picks, how many do you realistically think turn out to be solid NBA players?
Realistically?
Like, realistically.
Yeah, three.
Yeah, like,
they just got
three of the five are
solid first-round picks.
Which three?
That's not... I don't really know that. If I had to guess...
You just think three.
Saraf... If I had to guess, Saraf, Joman, Traore. If I had to guess.
Not your eighth overall
pick. I think Drake Powell is going to be solid.
Drake is uber athletic. I just don't know if he lacks the skill.
I like Danny Wolf.
I like Danny Wolf a lot, too. I just don't know if he's... I just don't know.
I don't know if he translates.
Like, can I show you a pass he made?
He could be a Drew Timmy type.
To give the Nets credit.
He's also good. And on our team.
Yeah.
Drew Timmy
should not.
You guys are destined
really
for
be getting minutes.
Destined.
Dominated summer league.
In NBA games, though.
I think you guys have a great coach, and I think
he
will do a good job of making sure these rookies aren't just out there, you know, chucking up shots like MPJ probably will. But I think he's going to do a good job of making the basketball seem meaningful to these rookies. So I feel like they're in a good spot to learn how to play real basketball, even if their team is, in my opinion, horrible. Like the Hornets, I think they get out there and they start farting around on the court. They do not care about what they're doing. Jordy Fernandez is not letting that happen.
I think that's a big part of what they want to do right now. It's building the culture and the identity of the unit. It all starts with Jordy. Jordy sets the tone for everything that happens, regardless of the talent they have out there. I think, and I've always said this, not even to do with the Nets, just sports. Owner, GM, coach, if you can align those all three correctly and you get those three right, it is hard to not have success eventually. Like, eventually it will come. The Nets have done that, and now you just have to trust in Sean's picks in the general manager position and Jordy's ability to grow these guys. My only fear with Jordy is the Kenny Atkinson situation, where he's fantastic right now, but when it comes to really winning and taking that next step as a real contender, it's just not what he does. I'm afraid that's what Jordy is. I don't think it will be. I think Jordy has that next gear of, like, Missoula, like, we'll go win a championship. But Kenny really scared me when he was in Brooklyn, because he seemed like the perfect guy, and then right when it became time to win and coach stars, it just didn't seem to be – it seemed like he was out of his depth. So I think that's, like, the one fear I would have of Jordy. But aside from that, where we are right now,
yeah, I mean, you don't have to worry about that right now.
Exactly.
So I'm a fan of your coach, so I think that's good for your five rookies.
And let me now appease you and Owen. Owen Kelty, beat reporter for the 2025 Knicks season. You've done it now, what, it's just your third season on the beat report?
Second season
on the beat report, and you subbed in sophomore year one or twice, no?
No, I did Nets sophomore year.
Okay, so your second third year season doing NBA beat reporting, your second time doing Knicks. You're obviously a huge Knicks fan. Obviously something you're monitoring regardless if you're following professionally. This is a big season coming up. Obviously a lot of expectation. The most expectation on a Knicks team, and I would say – quarter century, is that even
probably since the 90s, early 2000s?
94 is probably
The first year. No, even the first year in Melo, this is the highest expectations in a long time.
I would like for you to talk about what that means, not even for the fans, but also what it means for the players, and then also just kind of more intricately your kind of thoughts about this season, where you think it can go right, where you think it can go wrong. We'll give you the floor.
I mean, this team, very excited for this season. Last year, going into the year, I remember doing one of these, and it was the question was depth with the Knicks roster last year. The bench was terrible last year. They campaigned Landry Shamet, DeLon Wright, like good, decent players, but those were your 6'7", 8 man, 6'7". But I just lost track there. Wow. But this year, you bring in Jordan Clarkson. You add in, you still have Shamet off the bench. Brogdon's there. Deuce McBride. Like, you have a much stronger bench. Yabusele. Love that signing, you know. So yeah, Sixers fan over there.
Malcolm,
Yabu.
You have Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah.
That was a sneaky pickup. That wasn't under the radar.
But he's on he's on like an exhibit 10, so we have to trade one of Dottier or Tyler Kolek to get him on the roster right now.
Yeah, Dottier is cooked, no?
I don't know if we're trading 19-year-old
bags.
Personally,
Dottier for Kolek.
I think you get rid of Kolek.
I think Dottier is
like
much
Kolek,
more room to improve.
I don't think
Kolek.
They like Kolek that much.
Or Tibbs like Kolek.
Tibbs was a Kolek guy. Dottier was a front office.
Plays the right way.
And also, I'd like to throw into the soup you're making of your Knicks talk right now. Kurt said it's the best Knicks team of all time.
Best Knicks team of all time.
So I'd like for you to reflect on that as well. I think the 94 team was better, to be fair.
I think some of those 90 teams were definitely better, but I think they'll have the conversation that this is the most talented Knicks team ever. I mean, if you look at that starting five, whoever they choose, like Jalen Brunson up there, probably greatest Knicks ever by the time his career ends.
Who gets the boot in the starting lineup? That's the real question.
I think it's Josh
One
Hart.
Of those guys doesn't play. Is Hart coming off the
I
bench?
I think Hart's got to come off the bench, and you start Mitchell Robinson. But you don't start. Okay. I don't think it's going to be a consistent starting lineup because you can't play Mitch every game.
And can you start Mitch and Kat consistently together?
No. I think you start them, like, I'd say, yeah, consistently, but I think that you have to give Mitch, like, he can't play. I think he's got to play 60 games. He needs to be healthy in the playoffs.
Can I hate for a second?
Just go for it.
My one thing with this offense specifically is that I think Kat and Brunson are so much better players when the other isn't on the floor. And I think especially Kat, His entire offensive game is hamstrung when Brunson is out there. Not because Brunson holds onto the ball, but it just seems like Cat has a different mentality out there when another really prominent scorer is on the court, is on the floor.
I think a big problem with that was that last year they were not running like any like pick and pops. They were just strictly, it was like Cat ISO, Brunson ISO, and they were very hurt by Josh Hart being on the floor.
Definitely.
Cat's numbers too, like a lot of people talk about the on-off with Brunson and Cat. A lot of Cat strictly played a lot more with the bench. Brunson only played with Cat and Josh Hart on the floor, and their spacing with Josh Hart on the floor is just not good at all. No. The guy can't shoot.
Yeah,
I mean, great player. Love him. One of my favorite players in the Knicks. But when you have that, like, you don't have to guard him at the three-point line.
No,
it's like having Ben Simmons out there.
Yeah, and it changes
and
how.
And then when you put Mitchell Robinson out there, he really isn't any offensive threat. So you got two guys out there that aren't any sort of offensive threat, and that really hurts them, especially when Mikal wasn't really that great last year. I know you love to hear that, but I think in this new offense,
garbage.
I think when you, in this new offense with Mike Brown, new ball movement, I think you put Hart off the bench, start Mitch, put Cat at the four, and I think you'll see a big difference with how they play together.
And Ryan, you mentioned the coaches. That was something you stressed with the Nets. New guy in town this year. Tibbs is gone. Mike Brown's in. What is your general feel on Mike Brown? Mine's very positive. I
ball
think he
movement.
Is
extremely ball positive. Movement.
I think I like he's
Mike
very
Brown.
Good for the
Mike
Knicks.
Brown
yeah, Colin, we'll go to you.
Is
you as
the
well.
Acquisition of our offseason. Last year, I mean, it's the big 2-5, and we have the greatest big
Who's
man shooter.
Who's the big 2-5?
No, the big 2-5. It is the big 2025.
We're talking about Mikal Bridges.
Oh,
he is the big 2-5.
He's the little 2-5.
We could implement that nickname after, but
what the little 2-5?
The big 2025. And we have the greatest shooting big man taking 4 threes a game.
That was ridiculous. That was absurd.
Our offense was terrible. I don't care that we made the Eastern Conference Finals that year.
It was
abysmal
to watch.
It was terrible. Our offense was terrible. You have Jalen Brunson dribbling the ball all day long. You have Mikal Bridges playing 55 minutes a game.
And sitting in the corner for no reason.
I mean, objectively, the starting five could be one of the best collection of offensive players you could have in the NBA as a starting five. You have a Cat who's a complete offensive force of nature. Jalen Brunson is a top 10 NBA player, I think. He is.
No, he definitely is. Yeah.
And our offense
Kurt,
sucks.
I hate your face across the like. Why are you like? He arguably is top five. I hate that.
Whoa,
I have to say that.
I don't know about
is.
That.
I don't know about top five, but he's in the
top five clutches for sure.
Our offense sucks. And I like the approach that we fired our coach, even though he was the most successful coach. But, I mean, I like it to, like, the old Yankees, like, managers. Like, when you lose, you get them out. We're not complacent with winning, with almost winning anymore.
I know Kurt's pissed about that line.
You root the problem out. That's why we didn't win. We would have won if we didn't have problems. So you have to root
the
problem out.
They probably also, like, his stubbornness last year really hurt them.
His stubbornness, he coaches us like we're a 1950s high school team. I mean, listen, I don't want to hate on him too bad because he was
They're
a great.
He
did save our. Time. He did save our franchise, but it was. Time
he saved
time
our
to
franchise,
change.
But it's time to win in the big 2-5.
Sometimes you have to take a step back to take a step forward. You guys remember Mark Jackson with the Warriors?
Mm. Yeah,
led them. They were a great team. Fired him. Steve Kerr came in. Dynasty.
I was even thinking because you brought up Yankees. Buck Showalter gets fired.
How bad
would
a dynasty be, Chris? A Knicks dynasty. How bad would that be?
How bad would it be if the sun exploded? It's like, that's not going to happen, so I don't really care.
Would you rather, like, live in, like,
can I finish my point?
Putin's Russia or see a Knicks dynasty? But you have to, like, live in, like, the gulag.
Putin's Russia.
Where's my furry hat?
You're, like, in the gulag.
Where's my furry hat? My point was going to be Buck Showalter makes the playoffs for the first time with the Yankees in 95. They think he's not the guy to take them to the next level. They hire Jartori. Things happen.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's Colin. Do you have any negative? You inflicted a playoff loss two years ago.
I think Josh.
You still
Hart,
feel a certain way. Sorry.
I have thoughts about Josh Hart. I think he's a problem.
I agree.
He was.
He sucks.
There was a time
he'd be the best Net. Right
there,
now.
There was a time.
Would Josh Hart be the best player on the Nets roster?
That is the most asinine take I've ever heard.
Come on. No, it's not.
Yes,
no,
it is not.
I swore he was about to agree. I swore he was about to agree.
Michael Porter Jr., Nick Claxton.
Zaire Williams is better than Josh Hart.
Cam
I swear to God.
Wait.
I swear to God.
No,
Nick
Claxton is not better than Josh Hart.
And Dayron Sharp. I'm taking all
what?
Of them.
Yes. He knows ball. Dayron, he knows ball. He actually knows ball.
100%.
You don't know ball if you're saying you wouldn't do Josh Hart for Dayrod trade.
I wouldn't be surprised if Kobe Bufkin's better by midseason.
I'm not trading Josh Hart. I'm not trading Josh Hart for a single player on the Nets roster.
ESPN has him as like a top 100, like a top 70.
They're wrong.
You guys got to watch some Kobe Bufkin tape.
Facts.
You're sleeping on Kobe Bufkin.
Y'all are sleep on Kobe Bufkin.
To get back to the point, there was a time.
I'm sleeping. I'm not even awake.
I'm not listening.
There's no chance I'm waking up for Kobe Bufkin.
There was a time,
Kurt. I'd bring that up, but I'd have to make a joke, and I can't go
there,
on.
There was a time 2 or 3 years ago when I thought Josh Hart was a great player. He was electric, best rebounding guard in the NBA by far. He had good playmaking skills. He wasn't like a horrible shooter. You could rely on him for like 30%, maybe. Like he still can't
rely on him for 30%.
Well,
I think.
Whatever, but at this point, he is just hustle on defense. Yeah, he's still a good rebounder, but he's not a good on-ball defender. And on offense, he is literally nothing more than a connective passer. That's literally it. Just pass the ball to Hart, he'll swing it.
I think you can't say he's just a hustler on defense.
I think you just hate him because he hit that clutch three against you guys to eliminate you.
Yeah, he has great hustle, which is something the Sixers desperately need, but like, Yabusele also great
Yabu,
hustler.
I'm actually love Yabu.
Yabu dunked on LeBron. Great hustle.
Yabu has fantastic hustle.
He's going. His butt
hustler.
Is also huge.
Yeah. Ryan, go on.
He's not just a guy with great hustle. He is
distracting.
The best hustler, maybe in the league. Offensive rebounding guard.
What
he's
makes
the best
him the best?
Because
hustler.
He grabs heart-wrenching rebounds in playoff games.
He'll grab a rebound and he'll go for a putback and like brick a layup.
Hit the backboard.
Yeah, but he got that board.
Seasons with layups, with rebounds.
And then versus the Sixers, he turns into Larry Bird, hits like 4 threes.
Now the jealousy is starting to come out.
No, I'm not being biased. He has definitely fallen off offensively and defensively over the years.
He also, though, like, at the start of last year, was playing out of his mind shooting-wise. Like, he was going to regress. Also, very concerned this year. He's playing with a splint on his finger the entire year.
Yeah.
Like, he was already a pretty bad shooter last year.
We're talking about splinters on fingers now.
Splint.
That's where it's
splint.
Oh, splint. Splint. Okay,
yeah, that.
He's playing his fingers, like, the wrong
it's
way.
Fair,
he's playing
fair.
The whole season with
he's got, like, an offensive lineman.
Last year, Maxey, his whole shooting rhythm was disrupted by that.
By the splint?
Yes.
Yeah, we're cooked.
Anyway, guys, Ron Nick's talk there.
I don't
even
know if he was wearing a splint, but he had some hand injury in his fingers that completely derailed his
I could see that messing you up. I mean,
oh, yeah,
it's all
being like,
but it,
have you not seen the picture?
I don't even think it has to be in
Ryan's,
his shooting hand.
Ryan's playing the violin. That was all great. Nick's talk will be obviously continuous throughout the season. And honestly, Nick's talk, I feel like, gets outdated after 2 weeks. Like, it's a new story or a new point of view. Very often, very frequently. Yeah, it's gross. Josh is showing me. Owen's showing me Josh's finger. Last segment here. We've been here a while. This has been awesome. Had a lot of fun. I brought this up to you guys before the show. I want to end the show with a segment. We all played 2K growing up. I don't know if all of us play 2K now. It's gotten a bit sad over there.
It's gotten a little rough.
It's gotten sad over there. We all know that a team may be really good in 2K that might not be good in real life, or vice versa. A team in real life may be really good, not that good in 2K. What are each of your best teams going into this new season in 2K? Specifically 2K, whether that's ability, whether that's just teammates that you think would play well together. What is your answer? I'll give you a few minutes to still think about it because I'll give mine first. Mine first, and this one's a little unorthodox. I tried not to go basic. The LA Clippers. Got a lot going on. They're the unction. A
lot of notable names.
They're the unction. James Harden, when he's 65, will be fun to play with in 2K, regardless of his age, will be fun to play with. Kawhi Leonard, defensively, completely helps out whoever the best player is you're playing against. We'll lock that down, regardless of his age. He doesn't lose speed that much in the game.
Bradley Beal.
He's got great mid-range in 2K. He's fun to play with.
He is. And I've had him in a franchise fantasy draft as well. Like, to have him in his full career is really fun as well. And then Derek Jones will be jumping out of the building. And who's going to be throwing him lobs? Oh, yeah, Chris Paul. Chris Paul's back in L.A.
God, he is back.
And that will be a dependable guy. Zubac. Well, the big men are a whole thing I haven't brought up yet. Chris Paul will get the ball over half court, will get you maybe even some steals from the other team trying to get the ball over
KG
half court.
KG on the Nets.
And then to wrap it up, Zubac in the middle. Obviously, as Owen said, fantastic. And backing him up.
Should have won the D-point.
And backing him up, it would obviously help if he was a few years younger, but he's not. Brook Lopez, hit you a few threes in the corner, can get you some things that maybe the normal center wouldn't. So, my answer, LA Clippers, Kurt Sipple said Sacramento Kings before the podcast. That was a really good answer
Kevin
as well.
Herter.
Don't know if anyone else had that answer. I would assume you
isn't
don't.
Kevin Herter on the Bulls.
Yes.
Is he gone? He's not on the Kings.
He's not
anymore?
On the Kings anymore. No. Shout out.
Forgot, you didn't give Brad Beal shout out.
Bradley Beal doesn't deserve a shout out. He's terrible. Yeah, no one shout out Bradley Beal.
Shout out Bradley Beal.
I'm on Phase Adapt side. I do not mess with Bradley Beal, and I'm too much on the internet. Ryan.
Yeah.
Who's your 2K team?
The Spurs. Wemby is a video game in real life, and Wemby is a video game in the video game.
Not to mention the guard carousel.
I mean, yeah, and I think maybe Dylan Harper could be good, and you could just start chucking it up.
Love Dylan Harper, Rutgers legend.
Fastest player in 2K, De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. You got a guy you could just run around a little bit.
They have so many.
You could farm Wemby.
Rookie of the year point guard.
Yeah. I love Stephon Castle, by the way.
I do as well.
UConn legend.
They're really running out like four guards and Wemby.
But, I mean, it's really Wemby here. I mean, the guy is, you're just going to be able to, it's going to be unfair. It's going to be unfair in real life, and it's going to be unfair in the video game.
7-5 is
And I've seen some hook shot stuff with him in the new game. I've seen some three-point stuff with him in the new game.
Oh, yeah, those three-point hook shots.
Seems like a weapon. Yeah. Seems like a weapon. Colin.
Until he starts doing that in real life.
I have,
it's not far away from how he was training this summer, Colin.
I have the Portland Trailblazers.
Woo! It's a good one. A little unction backcourt, Drew and Dame.
A great young group with some great veterans, too. Klingon, UConn legend. Shadon Sharp, highlight reel. Tumani Kamara.
Do not get me started on Tumani Kamara. Oh, my God. He's Scottie Pippen, dude. He's literally Scottie Pippen.
You got Drew out there.
One day Scoot will be good.
Drew to mentor Scoot, mentor Shadon.
Isn't that crazy? He just like completely has gone almost like forgotten about Scoot Henderson, second pick in the draft.
Because he shot like 10% and then shut down the.
You can watch Dame on the bench.
Matisse Thybulle is on the Portland Trailblazers.
Matisse, former Sixers legend. Well, until the Hawks series. Until
they deface his mural.
Rightly.
I'm online.
Rightfully so. It's just a great team with a lot of young guys, and I think they could actually make a decent playoff push. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they were actually pretty good this year.
Is Hanson going to be a weapon in the middle?
Hanson Yang? You better believe it. Okay. Sixth man of the year, rookie year.
How tall is he? He's like seven, over
he
seven.
He is large.
He's like, what, like 7'2"? Seven,
6'7".
First instinct was to be like, no way. But also, Donovan Klingon, I think, could actually be really good.
I think he can ascend defensively even more. I think he'll be like a top five rim protector in the NBA maybe this year.
Hanson's 7'1".
And he's got the skill that Klingon's lacking offensively. It's going to be a good two-man game there.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Dame's always fun in 2K as well.
I mean, he'll be on the bench in a suit. But
not if you turn off injuries.
True.
Come on now.
And even when he comes
back. You're better
back,
than that, Colin.
I don't turn off injuries.
You don't?
No.
You're a purist.
You got to franchise injuries on.
Okay. Fatigue on?
Yeah.
How about in-game injury? Is that on?
As the GM, you don't really play the games. You got to sim through the season.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Do you sim on 12 minute and play on 12 minute? Yeah, or do you play on? Okay.
Yeah,
if that annoys me when I play a big game in my season and it messes up my averages.
If it's a big game and we're down, I might have to jump in, get things taken care of, but sim for the most part.
Sixers won a lot of championships in your house?
No, I don't really use the Sixers. I mean,
fine.
Yeah, I'll just do teams that
they
like,
can't even win in your house.
I think are interesting. Like when I was a little kid, obviously I was doing only like Sixers, like Nerlens Noel,
Michael Carter Williams,
Rashawn, big legend.
Noel, Embiid, and Rashawn Holmes created the greatest front court I've ever
seen.
Has
Embiid ever made the conference
Okafor
finals?
Okafor was decent.
Yeah, it is. Did he make the conference finals in your house?
He was winning finals MVP.
Will he ever make the conference finals in real life?
Nope. Yes.
Owen, give your 2K team.
Pelicans.
Why?
Just because Zion, Jordan Poole.
That's a nasty little duo on and off the court.
We got the defensive, Herb Jones. I'm forgetting someone right now. Who am I forgetting?
Trey Murphy.
They got Jeremiah Fears. Like they got some and
Ooh,
Derek Queen.
Derek Queen. I'm excited for Derek Queen.
That's a fun little team to play on. Like Zion always is going to be good in 2K because he's just a unit, and he's also slim thick this year.
I'm a Derek Queen guy as well, especially with Zion. I think that duo can really.
I don't know how well Derek Queen translates, but he was fun to watch at Maryland.
I think I think the Pelicans in general are going to be a sleeper team this year.
And I think Jeremiah Fears, like, if any guard has the best like lead guard upside aside from
Nolan Traore,
I'm saying VJ and Dylan Harper because I believe in them. I think Fears could easily
He's
be
really
a lead
good.
Guard.
Elite
NBA.
Jersey also.
He's a little small.
Zero fears. Also, I think that's where the experience comes into play. He's played so much ball.
RWE, he was...
Yeah, like, yeah. I feel like from a certain perspective, having cameras on you and pressure on you at that young of an age just changes you a little bit.
Harper, too.
Derek has that. Yeah, Dylan, I meant. Not that. Well, Derek definitely has that. But even Ace. I think Ace is now fired the manager, seems a lot happier.
I think he'll be a good player. I think I'll like the... I think he'll translate fine, but I just don't know if he'll be Kevin Durant. I mean, I think that's a little lofty.
I think it's definitely lofty. I don't know about
MPJ,
flag,
maybe.
Though.
MPJ with a little bit of ability to put on the ground, but...
Michael Porter Jr.?
That's yeah, a great he could be MPJ.
He can't put the ball on the ground.
Yeah, I'm saying he could be MPJ.
Right.
Who could put the ball on the ground.
So Cam Johnson.
Listen, MPJ is a better offensive player than Cam Johnson.
Thank you.
I believe that.
That makes me feel a little
Johnson's definitely more switchable as a defender, but Johnson doesn't rebound. Like, he doesn't use his size in any way ever. And MPJ's arguably just as good, if not better, shooter.
So, Pelicans, fears. Owen?
Yeah, sorry. That was in the scroll. I got lost there. I like the Pelicans, just in general. I like Jordan Poole.
Is there a jersey we like from their history that we might be rocking this year on 2K as well?
Ooh, I like their purple ones.
David West.
Go on.
David West, New Orleans.
Which
Hornets.
One? Which one?
The blue one, the teal with the yellow pinstripes. I'm
surprised you didn't say the Mardi Gras.
Jeff Teague.
Nah, the Mardi Gras, was that a AD with like the sleeves?
Nah, David West wore it too. Let me see if I can find a...
I only rock Jeff Teague jerseys in this household.
Jeff Teague jersey.
He got the Cream City.
Draws
no. Teague time.
He got the Cream City.
I got the Bucks Cream City Jeff Teague.
Cream City.
They're
bringing that back, right?
Did it pantsless too.
We gotta wear it to the next pod.
Speaking of jerseys,
I was gonna wear it today, and then I was like,
Sixers,
I couldn't get it out of my head.
Sixers brought back some Phi.
Good stuff. Sixers have had good ones. I love those Spectrum uniforms.
The Knicks new jerseys.
Yeah,
the
ones with
the
Spectrum. The
white
vibe.
Ones and the Whew! And the navy ones were great.
The navy was really good.
The Navy was great.
We've both been...
I've never really liked, though, when they do the Philadelphia and script. Those jerseys have always been kind of bland.
Do you like Philla? No one says that.
I'm fine.
No one says that.
Oh, it's just Philly. Just say Philly.
But why is it Philla on the jerseys?
Because it was at some point in the past.
Don't you
past.
Think it's kind of dumb? You should just say Philly.
No, because I like their jerseys.
But change the A to a Y.
Well, then that would be Philly with one L. That would be...
Well, did they put two L's, I guess?
No, because... No.
Why did the amount of L's change?
It just works.
No, I agree.
That makes... Phila that really whack. Makes
no
sense.
No, Phila just works. Phila is whack. It just works.
I thank you. Phila's you like Phila on the jersey, or is that not really...
I mean, who has a problem with the Sixers jerseys? Like, Sixers have great jerseys.
They do have nice
they
jerseys.
They do have nice and good
not
colors.
Not as good as the Knicks jerseys.
Except for those red ones. Those ones are
I like the, oh, I like
no,
the red ones.
Yeah, but they're cursed.
Is it like you. The Knicks orange jersey? Like they lost like 14 straight games.
Every big game they've ever played in those, they've... Just got
wasn't that DiVincenzo game was in the red jerseys, I believe.
Well, that game, that outcome shouldn't have happened. Everybody knows that was rigged.
It seems like we all have different things we're excited for.
Just a salty Sixers fan. DiVincenzo, bang, bang.
The guys across from us.
Maxi gets torn to the ground.
As high
no call. Hold the ball.
As high hopes as you can have for an upcoming season across from us, and me and you very much, you're a little more in less, you're in less of a rebuild, but both
listen,
of us in sort of rebuilding.
I think the Sixers are in a position right now. Whether or not
okay,
that's
yeah.
a position
finish,
to be healthy.
Finish the pod with this.
Listen,
go on, Colin.
Whether or not you want to say that's a position to win a championship, but they're in a position to do something interesting. They're in a position to make it interesting in the East. Like
Net City Edition's great, by the way.
Just
to
say the Knicks are just going to run away with the East or like the Cavs. Like, well, first of all, I don't really believe in the Cavs. Like they're good
they're
season team
every single year,
and Donovan Mitchell's a great playoff performer, but like I don't know, Jared Allen, Darius Garland, they're just not going to get it done for you. Jared Allen doesn't do much offensively.
Gets dominated by Mitchell Robinson.
He doesn't do much yet.
He averages 12 points on like 70% because he gets the ball under the rim like four times a game. That's the extent of Jared Allen's
Kurt
offensive
hates Jared
abilities.
Allen.
Yeah, and we've had Kurt in here way too long as well. We'll wrap up now, Kurt. This has been fantastic. I've had a lot of fun. We'll obviously do more stuff. The season's coming up, and this is obviously a very tumultuous NBA season. There'll be a lot of storylines, a lot of things going on with the teams in this room as well. But for now, for us with Pick and Pod, it's Ryan Deptula making his podcast debut. It was Colin Banks making his podcast debut. For me, Kurt Sipple behind the board, Owen Kelty on the B-host. I want to wish you a great rest of your day. And, yeah, everybody's excited for NBA season. Get ready for
Go
ball
Nets.
Season, everybody. Go Nets.
Go Sixers.
Bye, everybody.